and it really is complementary to renewables. It's just a really, really big battery. So this system was built back in the 1970s, and it was built for two purposes, for backup electricity and also to provide backup water supply to Sydney. It was always built with the view of expanding this facility by doubling the capacity. So what we're doing is looking at a feasibility study to turn this plant from a 240 megawatt plant to a 480 megawatt plant. And that's the technology we need for this system going forward. And again, very complementary to renewables.
All right, joining us now to break down the announcement, the Director of Climate Energy Finance, Tim Buckley. Welcome back, Tim.
Thanks, Lindsay. Good to be back.
So these feasibility studies into, well, doubling the storage capacity for this one plant and this whole long duration storage, what do you make of today's announcement?
I think it's a critically important announcement. We need to get these projects moving. We've long debated decarbonisation. We've long debated, like for a decade or two or three, the critical climate emergency, and it's now very evidently hitting all around the world today. We need to drive decarbonisation. But the other factor that really underpins the importance of all of this is the massive hyperinflation we're seeing in all things to do with fossil fuels. Oil, gas and coal prices have gone up tenfold. Electricity prices have gone up dramatically around the world. In Australia, we've seen the electricity price in 2022 average $225 a megawatt hour. That's three times what we averaged last year. So we desperately need a lot more new capacity coming on, ideally really low cost wind and solar. But as Matt Keane has said, you can't just bring on wind and solar because they are variable, they are intermittent. You need firming capacity. And so you need a range of firming solutions, pumped hydro, like the Shoalhaven project at Origin Energy is proposing, make perfect sense to me.
How does it compare to using other batteries, using rare earth minerals? Are they sort of similar, or is it all part of the mix?
Yeah, it's critical that we actually have complementary technologies deployed. There is massive strength in diversity, and that diversity comes in terms of technology and geography. So it's critical that we don't have all of our pumped hydro storage in one facility in the Snowy Mountains. Mm. It's critical that we have wind across the whole of Australia. We use offshore wind, onshore wind, we use rooftop solar, we use utility solar. We need batteries for shorter duration storage. We need gas peakers for short duration. And we need pumped hydro storage is a longer duration storage. It can be left there. The water can be used overnight, as Origin Energy just highlighted, or alternatively, it can be left for seasonal peak demand, such as winter when it's not as sunny and when the wind's not blowing. You can then use the water storage at places like Snowy and Shoalhaven to reinforce grid reliability.
Is it a common use, it's common sort of storage device around the world?
It is. It's used in places like Japan. It's been a critically important enabler of grid stability for Japan. They historically were the number one developer of pumped hydro storage. Austria, Sweden, Norway, they have huge pumped hydro storage facilities. China now has the largest pumped hydro storage capacity in the world. They've got about 32 gigawatts, which is about half the size of the entire Australian generation fleet of every type of technology. They've got 32 gigawatts, but China's actually put out an aggressive ambition to quadruple to 120,000 megawatts, 120 gigawatts of capacity. So they're by 2030, so within the next 8 years. So they're doing pumped hydro storage on steroids compared to what Matt Keane's doing.
2 gigawatts is what the New South Wales government is looking for, total long duration storage.
2 gigawatts. Mm. So Matt Keane's five projects, 1.7 gigawatts, but that's complementary to Snowy Hydro, right, which is far bigger, but it's longer duration storage. So at the end of the day, we need all of these projects.
Yeah. So the Australian Electricity Market Operator released its Electricity Statement of Opportunities this week. What did that report forecast in terms of the reliability of our energy supply into the future?
it really put the marker on reliability, as you're asking. It's really highlighted that we need to move projects from the proposed list onto the under construction and completed list. That we've got 166 gigawatts of projects, like $200 billion of project proposals, but we need to actually move them to development. So AEMO, the Australian Energy Market Operator, was really highlighting that we've got an investment freeze because of the energy policy chaos that Angus Taylor left us with. We haven't got enough projects under development, and that grid reliability is going to be threatened unless we can get a lot of these projects built. And that means a lot of investment, a lot of regional employment, as Matt Keane said, thousands of construction jobs and plenty of employment thereafter. But most importantly for all consumers, it can mean a halving or more of electricity prices from the hyperinflation we're seeing today.
This is almost $45 million, but just for pre-investment work, feasibility studies and the like. How long does that kind of thing take, and how long, like, is that, does that, will that necessarily lead to construction?
No, won't definitely lead to construction. Pumped hydro storage is definitely a longer term solution. It takes you 5 to 10 years to build these projects. We're seeing that with Snowy Hydro, with years of delays coming through on Snowy Hydro. It's already 6 years in planning and development, and it's still 3, 4, 5 years away from completion. So a lot of these projects, the good news about Shoal Haven is that it's an expansion of an existing facility, so it should be able to be built in, say, 4 or 5 years. But don't forget, Chris Bowen, the Federal Energy Minister, has a target for 82% renewable energy penetration by 2030. That's just 8 years from now. That's treble what we've got today. That means we need a huge amount of investment in batteries, in demand response management, and pumped hydro storage, and possibly a couple of gas peakers to just make sure grid reliability is there.
Is it happening fast enough then, if we want to have at least 2 gigawatts of long duration storage here, including pumped hydro by 2030, and of course that target from the federal government? Is it all happening quick enough to meet a target like that?
Well, I think the energy chaos that we saw literally 2 months ago, and we spoke about, where literally the price of electricity just went through the roof, up 400, 500, 600%. I mean, it's not as bad as in Europe, where the price of electricity this year, this month, has gone up 20-fold on where it was 3, 4 years ago. Like, it's just extreme out of control pricing at the moment. Is it happening fast enough? It needs to happen fast, because we have a excessive reliance on end-of-life coal-fired power plants. And the previous government kept pretending these coal plants last forever. The reality is they don't. They're all either at or beyond their useful life. And so what we saw 2 months ago was concurrent outages, planned and unplanned, of these end-of-life facilities. And we're critically dependent on coal-fired power. So I would argue we need to advance all of these projects as fast as we can, work out which ones are viable, which ones are, and that's what these feasibility studies are about, and then make sure we have the right long-duration pricing structure to actually make these commercially viable.
Tim Buckley, good to talk to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Lindsay.
The Director of Climate, Energy, Finance on ABC Illawarra, Tim Buckley. It's about 24 past three.
Our tradition since 1993 is Saturday Night Country.
It's so beautiful, the way that he speaks it, and the heart and soul that is behind that.
Join icon Becky Cole for contemporary and classic country music tracks, plus interviews with Australian legends and rising stars.
Just this incredible story.
My love for country has just grown and grown and grown.
I was hooked. Country ever since.
Saturday Night Country, the home of country music. We're online and on ABC Radio.
I've got a new country music song I may play at some point today if we get time. I've got a lot to get through, including meeting a guy that's had a really messed up life. In fact, he's a student. Do you know anyone that's had 17 brain surgeries? Well, you're about to meet someone who has. University of Wollongong student Isaiah Weidler has the neurological condition hydrocephalus. This is a abnormal buildup of fluid in the ventricles deep in the brain, traditionally old-fashioned name, water on the brain, which can result in physical, developmental and intellectual impairments and multiple brain surgeries. But that does not slow Isaiah down. Tomorrow, he's walking 16 kilometres from Dapto to Wollongong to raise funds and awareness for his condition. Liam Coffey spoke to Isaiah earlier today and began asking him when he was diagnosed.
I was diagnosed when I was 5 months old.